Special Meditation, August 29th, 2001.
Why don't we do this with the light on?
First question from Romy concerns pattern in my life that has to do with feelings about my work. My work should be more service to others oriented. I then proceed to find a different type of work or employment that has an energy in it that grabs me, and I start working with it, but that passion or that energy dissipates quickly once that new work begins. And the I'm looking for suggestions or different points of view that would help me get deeper into this pattern that I'm seeing.
We are those known to you as the principal Akua. We are a slightly different voice than the Kuo, which normally speaks through this instrument, and because the vibrational characteristics of this particular question and group seem to be better met if the brothers and sisters of Hepan take the position of speaking for the principal, which includes those of Hepan, those of Laki, and those of Ra. Normally, we speak with this group through the brothers and sisters of Latu. However, each session of working has its own dynamics, and this particular group seems to call forth the strengths of the brothers and sisters of the time. If there are any differences, they are probably due to this unique voice. We greet each of you in the love and in the light of the Infinite Creator. As always, it is a great joy to speak with this group with whom we have not spoken for some of your time. Truly, it is a blessing and a privilege to us to be with you and to share in your meditation and in your seeking. We thank each of you for this special occasion, which we are heartily enjoying. As always, we ask each of you to ponder our words with your hearts, keeping those thoughts which seem helpful and resonate within your being as true, leaving aside all other thoughts as not applicable to you at this time. The challenge of right occupation is not a challenge that is entirely that which it seems on the surface. Any more than an activity at which one spends a substantial portion of one's waking hours can be simply a job, simply that which it appears on the surface. The concept of an occupation has been distorted by the needs of your peoples for money. In a world where there was no need to earn money in order to live a life that was comfortable to a minimal extent, it is likely that many of those who work at the jobs that they now work at would immediately cease to report for their hours spent at the job, because they would no longer need the money that the job offers. However, there would still be an incarnation with lessons to learn and gifts to share. And even those who come into incarnation with absolutely no need to earn money usually find themselves at least tempted to choose to occupy a substantial portion of their waking hours pursuing an activity which could be said to help the seeker learn its lessons and share its gifts. It is easy to see the materialism of the world and its ways. It is less easy to see into how the materialism of the culture in which the seeker lives may have penetrated into areas of the metaphysical and caused elements of the work ethic to become elements of spiritual materialism. This is a subtle area of contemplation, but we recommend it to the one who is wrong. For the rules and the ways of the world and the spirit are genuinely, from the core outward, different. And when evaluating the spiritual work of issues such as this, which have so many elements in the physical and so many elements in the metaphysical worlds. It is well to ponder how to frame that great and genuine desire of the heart to serve. In a way that allows the seeker to see into, to penetrate into the deeper workings of desire, and to sift out those elements which have to do with the world and its ways, in order that the real form, the real skeleton, the real muscles and sinews that underlie the flesh of spiritual seeking may be viewed. For there is a structure to right occupation in the spiritual sense. And that has to do with those things that are of worth in the spirit rather than in the world, in the heart rather than in the mind, and in the intuition and the resonances of feeling rather than the logic and reason that characterize intellection and ratiocinative thought. One thing we would suggest in pondering this issue is a review of the gifts which have been brought through into the personality shell available to the seeker in this incarnation. And to ask the self how best these gifts might be shared. We are aware that the one known as Romy wishes, for instance, to investigate the possibilities of working with the younger entities among your people, feeling that perhaps working with these young entities may be of more service than working with the adult versions of these entities, which are all the Creator. We suggest to the one known as Romy that this may well be a reasonable concept. The one known as Romy may well have gifts that would feed into these relationships with the younger entities. This can be investigated in several ways. By thought, by research, and to an extent, by experience. We would point out that the job, the career, is a form connected more with money than with the gifts that one shares. whereas activity that can be chosen of oneself offers a freer and far more elastic form of inquiry. In other words, it is possible to place oneself through what this instrument would call volunteering, time and attention, in certain ways, in certain organizations, to allow oneself to come into contact with and to interact with entities of that younger age, so that many questions upon the seeker's mind might be explored. Is there indeed a special gift that seems to be called for by the younger entities who may have greater needs than simple need to learn? Is there a resonance when actual experience replaces theoretical thought? We suggest this for the simple reason that interaction with another self or other selves, while often very confusing, contains within it a tremendous potential for learning. When one is confined within the privacy of one's thoughts, suppositions that may or may not be true cannot be examined with at all the same efficiency as when these suppositions and assumptions are placed cheek by jowl with actual experience. In the process of following relationships begun with such younger entities among the peoples, much data may be taken in. Much, certainly, of linear information, but far more than that. Much of the visceral, the gut reaction. So that there may be more of a rounding and full shape to the thinking. We would, at this time, transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. So we are those of Akua. We leave this instrument in love. and in life.
I am Quo, and greet each again. In love and in life, through this instrument. In addition to that which we have spoken through the one known as Karma, we would add through this instrument the utilization of one's passion in determining that occupation into which one places one's desires, dreams, as a means by which to serve others. As one looks at the skills which have been brought forth into this present incarnation, and evaluates that level of expertise, shall we say. Added to this, we would heartily recommend the investigation of any area in which one finds excitement, interest, passion, the desire to serve, increased by the pleasure of serving. In truth, there are truly no mistakes, for all entities are the Creator. One can only serve Creator. All expenditures of energy are a service to the one Creator. Therefore, in order to serve in the most fulfilling manner and to achieve that brilliance and vividness of the variety of colors of service, shall we say, it is well that whatever choices one makes, that there be a passion for the choice made to propel one in a day-by-day manner into the service and through the service to those whom you serve. In this way, the lessening of excitement that the one known as Rumi has observed occurring in his patterns of service may be ameliorated, and the most full expression of the heart and desire to serve might be achieved. Wherever passion is found, for passion is a kind of pre-incarnative gift, the continuance of that which has previously opened one's heart, again finds resonance in the present incarnation by the expression of a passionate desire to be of service in a certain manner. At this time, we would suggest the asking of the second query.
The second question I have concerns a pattern of looking for mated relationship in my life. Finding one and then the relationship ending soon after. I wonder if there is a spiritual structure to such a relationship, and if I am putting expectations in such a relationship from the beginning, and therefore not allowing the passion or the true love to flow. If you can comment on it, I appreciate it. I'm once again looking for suggestions how to explore this pattern deeper.
I am thinking, and am aware of your breath. The mated relationship is a specific kind of service and experience of mutual desire for seeking the One Creator, for serving the One Creator, and for sharing the life pattern out of which seeking and service are born. Thus, you may consider the words which we have spoken concerning the occupation and its service as being applicable to the mated relationship as well. There is the need to love and to be loved, which is as normal and natural a function of the human being as is the sleeping, the eating, the breathing, and the moving about within your illusion. The experience of being of service with the mate is one which has a great deal of joy and direction in that each in the mated relationship feels a kind of wholeness which is not present outside the mated relationship, and that is alone. However, it is quite possible for each entity to be of great service and to seek with great purity in a solitary fashion. The yoke of such honor, duty, experience is more easily borne when shared. In opening oneself to such a relationship, there is the need to truly become open, to prepare the self for change, to be willing to accept the changing currents and depths of the river of life. For when there is an expectation that one holds to strictly or dearly, then that expectation can become an an obstacle to this opening of the self, to that which a potential mated relationship brings to the self. Thus, it is well when considering the possibilities of a mated relationship to truly examine the heart's desires. For when allowed to express truly, these desires may move far past the boundaries set by mental contemplation. Thus, the romantic involvement within your illusion has oftentimes been seen to originate in the stars, shall we say, so that forces outside the self are given the opportunity to move the self, such as the wind and the weather move the sailboat upon your sea. At this time, we would transfer this contact to the one known as karma. We are those of
you. We are, again, with this instrument. We are those of the cool. For you see, my brother, the entire self is here to love and to be loved, not simply the conscious self, the self of expectations, but the entire self, the whole, utter, real, complete, universal self. And one cannot approach that which is a consuming fire, that which changes the life, that which one must surrender at one level to, as if it were hiring someone to fill a position. One cannot choose a mate. That is, one can choose a mate, but one shall get what one has chosen. The product of rational thought may or may not be that emblem of love which so speaks to your own whole self, that there is that element in that other person that is the face of the Creator, that allows you to see into the Creator through that person. There needs to be something within the choice that must be made, that cannot be denied, that is felt passionately to be sufficient cause for the discomfort, suffering, and pain of surrender to a relationship. For any relationship, while it will not change you precisely, will change so much about your experience that is as though you will have set into motion the wheels of transformation in such a way that they are never under your control in any substance of sense. Nor are they in the hands of the other involved in a mated relationship. For that entity too will be challenged to so love you as the face of the Creator, that she can see more of the Creator in herself because she has you as a mirror. Certainly, a relationship can be made, a home can be created with any chosen mate. But to move beyond pattern into spontaneous energy, which creates its own patterns, there is the need to find that focus that is worth the sacrifice of the old self, and that inspires the faith and the trust of the self to release the protective layers around the heart, that the self may offer itself, its life, and its service to another. Each in a mated relationship does this. And it is not an I or a she, but a we and an us that each surrenders to. That oversoul or higher self that the two become in union. So that there is not simply the self and the other self, but there is that divine union which contains the Creator to which both have surrendered. This is the glory of the committed or mated relationship. This is the beginning of great potential for learning and for an expansion of service, depending upon that creature that both have become as a we and an us. Again, to move from the head to the heart is to find reasons for what this instrument would call sacrifice. In any new choice, there is, as the one known as Rumi has said, the initial joy, the initial thrill of something new and something perhaps better. But then, no matter how good that new choice is, there comes the moment when the new job or the new relationship is more fully seen, and something akin to despair can crop up, for it is now seen, as the one known as Rumi has said, that here lie feet of clay, here lie in a job tasks that ring hollow and do not resonate. this instrument has been working at the occupation which she now enjoys for some stretch of time. And from this instrument's experience, there seems to be, for the most fully fulfilled worker, still those times when the job seems sterile and without true appeal. And we find it in this instrument's mind that this instrument has often said to herself at such times that this is not about the job. This is about the process. It is not the fault of those situations that define a job description. It is about what cycles and what patterns the entity as a personality and as a deeper spiritual seeker is going through and can be expected to continue going through throughout the incarnation, which is full of its cycles and will always be so as long as third density conditions persist, which encourage cyclical patterns, waking and sleeping, eating and being hungry, being happy and being unhappy. These cycles are very stubborn within the human personality and are built in to that constant pulse of spirit in order that the illusion may be what the illusion is intended to be, a disquieting, confusing, distracting, and ultimately successfully humbling experience that brings one out of oneself, down upon one's knees in many ways, and ready to open the self to that which is desired. For all things that are desired will create the new patterns of change, and change is always difficult. All new choices will seem wrong at a certain point, at many points in a cyclically repeating pattern. What shores up the confidence of one who is moving from the heart is that feeling of being true to the self, right or wrong, and that feeling of being able, if one is wrong, to accept that and move forward, bolstered by the passion that moved the seeker in the first place to make a change, so that the self may see into these cycles and yet may still by following the heart and following desire locate those precious elements that need to be within the life, be they the job or the people. Identifying not by sight, but by the eyes of the heart. Not by them, but by confidence in those murmurings of desire that the heart speaks. For the Creator wishes each child to fulfill every desire. To ask every question. To knock at all the doors that call to Him. We are aware that the one known as Romy wished that we keep this session brief. And we are aware, too, that the sound of the tape recorder means that we have not fulfilled his expectation. However, we can fulfill it at this time by relinquishing our hold upon this instrument and this group, and thanking the one known as Romy for these very heartfelt and genuine questions. It is a mark of spiritual maturity to see the patterns of one's life. It is a mark of even more maturity, spiritually speaking, to look not only for ways to solve the puzzle, but for ways to love the self and to know it ever more deeply. And knowing it more deeply, to find ways again to love. Truly, every difficulty can be untangled by persistently turning to those gentle fingers of love that through time will untangle every knot and remove every obstacle. We leave you glorying in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. We leave each of you with our thanks and our true, true gratitude for our relationships with you. And our invitation to share our thoughts with you. Adine. Adine Vasu Varadas. Aware those. Nanti. Azuku. Anybody you'd like to pray for, Romy?
I would like to put into the light both of my parents, my brother, Dana and the other, Dana and Kupak and Judy. And both of you, Jim and Carl. And Don of Inspiration. Anyone else?
Let's put Wayne Anderson in there. And Fakisha, because she's having a lumpectomy tomorrow for breast cancer.
And the two ladies from Jehovah Witness who visited me today, hoping to convince me to join. Those two.
Mommy. I am the circle in you. Are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. You
circle and you are hearing me. I am the circle and you are hearing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one.